You know, I want to talk about a topic that is not often spoken about, or I haven't heard much of, and it's a topic that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. It is the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, it tells us about the judgment, the great judgment. It tells us about, you know, the lake of fire and brimstone, the fountain of life. And it tells us that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. You know, it tells us that God himself is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, Revelation, oftentimes when we read Revelation or whenever Revelation is taught in the house of God, there are those who are fearful. But might I just tell you that the only fear you're supposed to be feeling is a reverence and fear after hearing, you know, what is contained in the book of Revelation. It's supposed to be a reverence and fear for the Lord. Amen. You're supposed to be so fearful where you want to give your life to him, not because he's standing over you with a pitchfork or he has a tail, you know, no, not because of that, because you have such respect and such reverence for the Lord and such fear for the Lord because you believe that he is God. Amen. You believe that he really and truly came in the form of flesh and he died on a cross for you. Amen. You have to understand that God is going, he's a righteous judge. And God is Jesus. In the book of Revelation, it gives a description of how Christ himself is going to be coming back. In Revelation 19 and 12, it says his eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Amen. It says that he's going to be clothed with a vesture, and his vesture is going to be dipped in blood. And his name is called what? The Word of God. And when he returns, hallelujah, he is coming back for a spotless bride, a spotless church. Understand that you cannot enter into heaven. Unrighteousness cannot enter into heaven. Hallelujah. He is a just judge. He's a righteous judge. And he's coming back to judge all of creation. Amen. All of creation. We have a choice that we have to make. And I know God has given us all free will. He's given us free will to choose good or evil. The Bible talks about in Isaiah 5 and 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Woe to them that put darkness for light and light for darkness. It says, woe to them that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is what's going on in the world. Isaiah the prophet lived a long time ago. These things were happening back then, and it continues to happen today. There are those who are living in unrighteousness, in sin, in unholiness, and they're calling it holiness. Amen. And when you speak against, when you preach Revelation and you tell them that there's a lake of fire and brimstone where those who walk in unrighteousness, those who walk in rebellion against God, that's where they will go. They get angry at you and they tell you that their lifestyle is okay. What they're doing, there's nothing wrong with it. They tell you love is love. Amen. It is so normal nowadays for people to have abortions. It is like it's not murder. It's not considered murder. It's free choice is what they call it. Free choice is what they call it. Yeah, we all have free choice. But God told us in his word, instead of choosing evil, choose good. Amen. The Apostle Paul told us in the word, he says, listen, there is pleasure in sin, people. But he says, in that pleasure, in that sin, it leads to where? Destruction. The lake of fire and brimstone. Read the book of Revelation. It tells you. Amen. The Bible says Jesus is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And he is going to return. Revelation 19 and verse 14 says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. And he is coming back, y'all, white and clean. He is coming back for a spotless bride, a spotless church. Amen. And if you are not named by the name of Jesus Christ, you will not be returning with him. There is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I am telling you. And those who take bitter for sweet, darkness for light, amen, good and take good and call it evil, listen, you will not partake in the fountain of life. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 19. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. John the Revelator is describing Jesus Christ. He's in a vision and he's describing Jesus Christ. He says he looks like the Son of Man. Verse 15, and his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. It gets better. Verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. What do we use swords to do? Chop. And his countenance was as the sun. He shined as the sun shined in his strength. And when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as dead. John the Revelator. John, they said, the one that was banished to Patmos Island. John, the apostle that they tried to kill how many times and they just couldn't kill him. John said, when he beheld Jesus Christ, he fell at his feet as though he were dead. And John was saved. He was saved. And I think Daniel as well, when he beheld who he thought was Jesus or the angel of God, he fell as though he was dead. He was so petrified. He was so afraid. He was so afraid. He was so fearful. To the point where in verse 17, he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. He had to tell John, listen, don't be afraid. It's me. It is Jesus. I am telling you, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the skies. What? Going where no more dies. Nobody else will die. And the only way you're going to get to enter into that fountain of life that is so graciously extended to you by Christ Jesus on the cross is if you surrender your life and your heart to him. You have to surrender to him. Let's see what Ephesians chapter 4 and 17 says. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through what? The ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. God is saying, listen. Stop following the world. Stop living your life like the world. Stop purposefully, intentionally pretending to be ignorant. It's a choice that you're making. You're choosing to reject Jesus Christ. You're choosing to reject his word. You're choosing to have your understanding darkened. No one is doing it for you. You are choosing to be ignorant to the word of God because you want to walk in the way that the Gentiles walk. But I am here to tell you that that way leads to that broad road that leads to what? Destruction, everlasting damnation. The Bible says Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, God is going to bound Satan to give you more grace to get it together, people. To give you more grace to get it together. You know, Romans chapter 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to see your need for a Savior. You have to see your need for the Savior. You have to see your need for Jesus. I was once on my way to a burning hell. Jesus Christ reached down low into the miry clay and he pulled me out. He saved me. He can save you as well. But you have to surrender to him. The Bible says, Brother James says, listen, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There were five foolish virgins in the Bible, five wise virgins in the Bible. Five were foolish because they did not have oil in their lamp. What is your lamp? Your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, God and Jesus Christ, the Almighty God in three persons. They did not have the word of God on the inside of them. So when Christ, the bridegroom, returned for the bride, which is his church, amen, to judge the quick and the dead, they were not prepared. They were running to and fro, trying to borrow oil from the wise virgins. And the wise virgins that were wise says, no, if we give you our oil, we won't have enough to sustain us. Go and get oil for yourself. Go and buy oil for yourself. I am telling you today, go and buy oil for yourself. The word of God is the oil that you need. I'm telling you, do not be caught unawares. The Bible says Jesus is coming like a thief in the night, and there is no thief that is going to break into your house that is going to announce himself. He will not let you know he is coming to rob you tonight. John 10:10 says, listen, Satan, the thief, he cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. And God says, I am come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. Satan wants to destroy you. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth what? Not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. I am telling you, the only way you're going to begin to discern spiritually is by getting oil in your lamp. I am telling you, go into the house of God and begin to buy oil. You will start off drinking milk, but eventually you will eat strong meat. I am telling you, you need the oil, which is the word of God, to prepare you for what is to come. I am telling you. First Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, what? Foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I am telling you, I was once a fool. I even laughed at people when they spoke in tongues. It looked like nonsense to me then. I didn't want to hear about no preaching. I didn't want to hear about Jesus. But when I began to press into God, press into prayer, press into the word, into the oil, I began to discern that what I used to call light was actually darkness. What I used to call good was actually evil. What I called sweet was actually bitter. Adultery is bitter. Fornication is bitter. Homosexuality is bitter. Lesbianism is bitter. Murdering is bitter. Stealing is bitter. Lying is bitter. Envy is bitter. Covetousness is bitter. It is bitter. Lasciviousness is bitter. All unrighteousness, all impurity, all unholiness is bitter. The Galatians tells us that what the fruits of the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, hope, long-suffering, all those things are the fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? The ways of God. You know, Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, he says, I will come into them. I will come into him. Jesus say, he is standing and he's knocking at the door of your heart today. He says, if you hear his voice and you open the door, he says, he will come in to you and he will sup with you and you with him. He will talk to you. Isaiah said, come. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. He said, though they be red like crimson, I will make them as wool. They killed Stephen. They killed young Stephen. They killed young Stephen. Why? Because he was reminding them, listen, you can't live like the Pharisees of old. You cannot be a modern day Pharisee. You can't be calling bitter sweet. You can't be calling evil good. You can't be calling unrighteousness righteousness. You cannot live like the Pharisees of old. They stoned Stephen to death. The Bible says they closed their ears. They stuck their fingers in their ears because they did not want to hear what Stephen had to say. I'm not speaking to you with eloquent words today. I'm coming to you real. I am telling you, hell has a geographical location. Heaven has a geographical location. Jesus Christ is coming again. And this time he's not coming to die on the cross again because he is risen. When he rose that day on the third day, the saints of old, they rose with him and others saw them. Hallelujah. He is alive today. He is seated at the right hand of God as an advocate for your sinful soul. He is still strategizing for your soul. And he is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you laboring in sin? Are you laboring between the lines? Are you laboring between heaven and earth? He says, I wish that you were either hot or cold, but because you are not hot or cold, but lukewarm, he says, I will spew you up. He's saying, you got to pick a side. You got to pick a side. They stoned Stephen to death. Acts 7:57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Grown men stoned the preacher to death. This is grace speaking to you. Grace, the same grace that was extended on the cross to the two thieves, and one took a hold of that grace. The same grace, Holy Spirit, is speaking to me through to you through me today. That same grace is still trying to get your attention. What will it take for you to go get the oil in your lamp? Yeah. You know what the world says? Those that preach the gospel to the unsaved. The unsaved. Look at those like me that preach the gospel. They look at us like idiots. But can I tell you, we're not idiots. We're not idiots in God's eyes. Amen? Because the Bible said the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. And the reason it sounds like foolishness to you that are perishing is because you're rejecting the message of the cross. And I am telling you, the Bible said Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And no man can go unto God the Father but through Christ Jesus. There's no other way. He is the gate, he is the door, he is the window, he is, listen, he is it. You have to say yes to Jesus. Because the Bible says those who reject or neglect Christ Jesus will be where? In hell. And people go to hell, my brothers and sisters, because they refuse to repent. They refuse to repent. Can I tell you, 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Can I tell you, go and buy oil. Go buy oil. Go into the house of God. That's what I mean by saying go and buy oil. Find a church. Join a church. And don't look at numbers. Go to a church. If the pastor is preaching from the Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Plant yourself in a church. A rolling stone gathers no moss. Nothing grows. If a stone is constantly moving, no moss can grow on it. If you're constantly here, there, and everywhere, you won't grow spiritually. Plant yourself in the house of God. Go buy oil. Go buy oil, the word of God. Don't go into a house of God and look and say, oh, she, the church is too small. Or go, he, his church is too small. Or he don't seem too intelligent. She don't seem. Go and buy oil. As long as they're preaching from the B-I-B-L-E. Go and plant yourself. Go buy oil. Because the time is at hand. Listen, God loves to use weak people to fulfill his will. So you don't walk into a house of God and judge it because it's only one or two people in there. You go join that church and you be the third person. Go buy oil. Because I'm telling you, the preaching of the cross is not foolishness. Let's look at Revelation chapter 11. Let's see what's going on here. Revelation chapter 11. And let me see. Okay. This is an amazing story. I'll just explain. Revelation 11, 3 to 14. It says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God, the God of the earth." And verse 5 of Revelation chapter 11 says, "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut up heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." Oh my goodness. Are y'all hearing this? Verse 7 of Revelation 11. "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that's ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." This is, you know, a lot of people said this is Moses and Elijah, because remember, Jesus went to pray and he brought Peter, James, and John with him up a mountain, and he transfigured in front of them, right? He shone like the sun. And when Peter saw Jesus transfigured before them, Moses and Elijah showed up, and Peter said, "Oh, let me build three tabernacles for the three of you." And a cloud came over Peter and James and John, and a voice spoke out of the cloud and said, "Listen, this is my son. I love him. What you're thinking is wrong. He says, "This is my son. All I need you to do, Peter, James, and John, is to listen to him. Is to obey him." So Elijah and Moses showed up when Jesus was transfigured, and they were speaking with Christ. Amen. And so often people think that these two witnesses that I just read about in Revelation, they're thinking it's Moses and Elijah. I am not saying it's Moses and Elijah. The Bible says he will give his two witnesses power, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. So two men are going to come out of heaven into the earth. God is so gracious. And they're going to prophesy for 3.5 whole years. 1,260 days. 42 months. They're going to prophesy to people to tell them to repent. Give your life to Jesus Christ. And they are going to refuse to repent. And for the 3.5 years, every single day, they're prophesying repentance. Change your wicked ways. Turn to Jesus Christ. And no one's going to listen. And after the days of their prophecy, the beast is going to ascend out of the bottomless pit, out of hell. And he's going to make war against them, is what Revelation 11 and 7 says. "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." They're going to be killed. And their dead bodies are going to be lying in the street for 3.5 days. But guess what's going to happen? People, it says every nation, every creed, every tongue, everybody all over the world is going to witness they're killing, and is going to witness. They're going to be buying gifts and exchanging gifts with one another, saying that, "Thank God these two men that have tormented us is dead." And they're going to be partying around the dead bodies. And the Bible says they're going to refuse to let anyone take their bodies and bury them. What level of wickedness is this? What level of rebellion is this? What level of sin is this? Verse 8, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves." So it's very obvious that there are going to be people there that are wanting to take the two witnesses' bodies and bury them, and the people are going to prevent them from burying them. They will be partying, and they, in verse 10, that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, partying around the dead bodies laying in the street, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another. They're sending gifts to each other as though it's Christmas, rejoicing over the death of the grace that God has sent to them. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to give us grace. We killed him. We killed the grace. We crucified the grace. The grace, we crucified the grace. God sends two men now back into the earth to speak to us, to extend grace to us again for 1,260 days, and we killed the grace again. This time we partied around the grace's body. Remember what the Pharisees did at Jesus' crucifixion? They made sure that they showed up. You know what they said? You save many. Save yourself. Since you are the Son of God, take yourself down off the cross. What level of madness? What level of rebellion? What level of wickedness? How dark is the heart of these men? This thing has been happening. I told you these same Pharisees, they stoned young Stephen to death because they did not want to hear the truth. I am telling you the truth. Go buy oil. And they that dwell upon the earth, verse 10 of Revelation 11, shall what? They make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. People are so blind. It just behooves me. It is the level of blindness, the level of spiritual blindness that is in operation through people nowadays just has me shaking my head. I know the Bible says it, but it's, you know, and we know the word of God is true because God's word is true, but it's like, you just can never comprehend the level of blind spiritual blindness that's going on in the hearts and the minds of men in these days. I am alive today. These two witnesses have not yet come. So this is in time to come. And you mean to tell me people are still getting viler and viler? And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. And the fear fell upon them. And they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. So they're rejoicing. Thinking that, yeah, they tormented us. Telling about Jesus, Jesus, repent, repent. So they're rejoicing and exchanging gifts. Because they're sure these men are dead. Because they're dancing over their dead bodies. And the Spirit of God blew breath into these two men. And they stand up and the whole world sees because there's social media. There's social media. So everyone's going to witness the death, the killing, and everybody's going to witness them being resurrected by God himself. But the amazing thing is, you know what God does? He speaks out of heaven and he said, come up hither to the two witnesses after they stand on their feet. He said, come up here because I sent you guys to give them another opportunity to get their lives, their hearts in order. And they killed you. So come, no more time wasting with them. Revelation says that Jesus is coming back. His vesture is going to be dipped in blood. His eyes are going to be red like fire. Amen. He is coming with a two-edged sword in his mouth to judge the quick and the dead. Fear came all over them again. And immediately as that was happening, an earthquake happened and 7,000 people are killed. 7,000. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood upon their feet and a great fear fell upon them which saw them. Verse 12, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. God is like, enough already. He is like, enough already. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. You killed him. He sent his two witnesses. You killed them. So he raised them from the dead and said, come, come, come. He says they ascended into heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. In the earthquake were slain of them men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God of heaven. And the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Yeah, I heard that. What will it take? You know that before, honestly, before I became a Christian, before I got saved, I used to call Christianity, the life of a Christian, foolishness. I used to. Because I was blind. I was lost, now I'm found. I was once blind, now I see. Yeah, I used to call it foolishness. You know, Romans 8:11 gives us hope. It says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. God raised himself from the dead. No one did. And if his spirit is alive in you today, he can raise you. He can quicken your mortal body. He can bring life to you. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Can I just tell you, please go buy oil. Find yourself a church. Get into a church. I'm telling you, that is the only way. Begin somewhere is what God is saying. In Matthew 16, 22 and 23, it says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Jesus walked with the disciples for 3.5 years, and he's preaching and he's teaching. And he has told them severally, I'm going to be betrayed by one of you. I'm going to be given over into the hand of wicked men. I'm going to be crucified. But he says, have hope. On the third day, I'm going to rise again. Jesus is saying that to Peter, who's been with him and has heard that before. And Peter is rebuking Jesus. I love what Jesus says. He turned to him. The Bible says in Matthew 16, 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. So you have to understand what is in operation in people. You have to understand what is in operation in people when they say that the Christian life is foolishness. The preaching of the cross is foolishness. You have to understand that God did not say, get thee behind me, Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. So who is in Peter talking negatively? Satan. So God addressed the Satan. So who is preventing you from going into the house of God and buying oil? Satan. My mom has this saying. She said, misery love company. Satan knows it's a wrap for him. For 1,000 years, he's going to be shackled. And after that 1,000 years, he's going to be let loose again to rule over this earth, to do what he wants. You are alive today. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. For tomorrow is not promised to no man. Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised to you. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, what thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things what? But he, the things of those things that be of man. Satan, even before Jesus, no, Satan was trying to prevent Jesus from going to the cross to die for you. And he was using someone that loved Jesus and Jesus loved. Understand that when Satan is coming to tell you, don't go to church, don't go into the house of God. Oh, you don't need to do that. You can do church at home. Or don't go into church because they're all hypocrites in church. That's a lie. He's not going to use someone that you don't know or someone that you don't trust. He's going to use someone that you love, someone that you are familiar with. He might use a stranger too, but he's going to use someone that you respect or you reverence. But I am telling you, the only one that you're supposed to reverence or fear is God, because he's the only one that could put your physical body in hellfire. Amen. To kill it for an eternity and it can't die. He said, don't fear man who can kill your body, but fear him who can kill both soul and body and leave it in hell for an eternity. Satan used Peter because he knew that Jesus loved Peter, and Satan's mind is so warped. He knows that God is God. He knows that Jesus is God, and he's still trying to use Peter, thinking that he can somehow persuade Jesus not to go to the cross. But I am here to tell you that John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, anybody that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The thief was a thief on the cross. And he took a hold of grace, everlasting life on the cross. When he turned to Jesus and he says, sir, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. That's what the thief said. You're still alive. You don't have to wait until you are on your deathbed to say yes to Jesus. Say yes to him today. Buy oil today. Don't end up at the marriage supper of the Lamb knocking on the door. The Bible said there are those who are going to say, Lord, Lord, but I prophesied in your name. Lord, Lord, but I served in the church. Lord, Lord, but I was too weak. I had to go to work. I had to wash my hair. I had to cook my dinner. I had to wash my clothes. Lord, Lord, I'm a good person. Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, Lord, they mandated me to work. Lord, Lord, I had to pay my bills. Lord, Lord, if I didn't go to work, I couldn't pay my bills. Lord, Lord, my husband didn't want me to go to church. Lord, Lord, my wife didn't want me to go to church. Lord, Lord, my spouse didn't want to go to church with me. Lord, Lord, I didn't like that preacher. Lord, Lord, I couldn't find a church. Lord, Lord, he said, those people, he will say, get away from me. I never knew you. You know, there's a song that says, listen while you still can hear. Bow down while your knees still bend, because the master is calling. I told you, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming morning, night, or noon, and many will meet their doom. The trumpet's gonna sound, and when the trumpet sound, don't look for a mountain to run to hide, because the mountain will be looking for somewhere to hide. Don't, if you're on the house top, the Bible says, stay up there. Don't come down to try to grab anything. The house gonna be looking for somewhere to run and hide. The sea sand will be receding. The water will be, everything is looking for somewhere to hide. You have to fear God and not man. Give your life to Jesus. God loves you. Hallelujah. He loves you. God loves you. He is not in the grave. Luke 24:1-9 says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed. Why are you perplexed? He said he was going to die and he's going to be risen. Why don't you believe him? They were perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, the two men said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the person that say he is going to be raised from the dead after 3 days on the third day? Why are you looking for him in the grave? Jesus is not in the grave. He is seated in the heavenlies at the right hand of God, advocating for your soul today. They say he is not here. Luke 24:6. He is not here, but is what? Risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. They remembered his words, is what the Bible says in verse 8, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto 11 and to all the rest. And I am telling you today, Jesus is risen. He is alive, my friend. He is alive and he loves you. Amen. He is calling out to you from heaven. He loves you. He wants you to live and not die. That's what he wants, you to live. He died that you might live. He died, so you don't have to die again. Hallelujah. Give your life to Jesus Christ today. God bless you. I'm Pastor Desiree Parks. Until next time. Bye-bye now.